Live from New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to explore how a poor diet and lack of exercise accelerates the aging process and all kinds of diseases. Who says? The Mayo Clinic says. We're also going to look at the omega-3 fatty acids. We mentioned that yesterday, but today we're going to show you how, according to University of Rochester School of Medicine, it reduces bacterial lung infections in people with a very serious lung condition, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. We're also going to explore mindfulness meditation, how it provides an opiate-free pain relief. This is from Wake Forest. And we're going to look at red apples and berries, how it boosts our health. We're going to look at natural remedies for mouth ulcers, how soy intake is associated with greater lung protection, and how the olive leaf can really benefit us. And from Ayurvedic medicine, from a major research project, they showed that a particular herb can help stimulate insulin secretion, and that's a big lifesaver. You're talking about saving millions of lives. And this is a study that the average person would not know about. The media has not discussed. I will. So you'll want to write it down. This is done at King's College London, and making the beta cells work better. How about that? Plus today, we're going to have a commentary from Chris Hedges on the Mexicanization of the United States from Truthdig, cashing in on our kids. You've heard me mention ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, how they represent anywhere from 200 to 300 corporations. They work in secret behind the scenes, and they wine and dine your state legislators, giving them bills that the legislator then goes back and makes into law, never once informing the public that they're doing Alex's bidding and not yours. Well, I told you, watch behind the scenes, because when you start seeing the same bills come up, there's a reason for it. And now we have 172 ALEC education bills being pushed for privatization. We will look at that. A special report from PR Watch, Brendan Fisher and Zachary Peters. Also, our talkback segment today will deal with a simple issue, but it has profound implications, and that is, why are we becoming so narcissistic? Cambridge University in England came up with an idea on this. And then I'm going to put it into a larger context and then ask you for your feedback on this. And also today we're going to go to our special audio clips, and we're going to hear, for example, about what is the backstory behind so many people being destroyed. Over 7 million Jews, over 40 million people in World War II. There's another story that was never told. The American public and the English public, French public, Italian public don't know about it. You'll hear this today. This has been fully vetted. Then we have a former big pharma rep coming clean, telling us the truth about big pharma's true motivations. If time permits, you just had heard about who won this election, who won that election. We have some very rare footage. It's a person testifying under oath, a computer programming, testify that he helped rig voting machines. Why don't we know about this? We should. So as you see, we have a lot to do. I don't know how much of this we'll get on today. We can't always get everything on. As much as we can, we will. So let's begin by taking a look at something that all of us can do. We can all begin to make positive changes with our diet. We can eat red apples. We can eat berries. Even if not organic, you can and should use a simple, you can make it yourself, apple cider vinegar, hydrogen peroxide, and you then scrub the skin. It's the scrubbing of the skin. You can use kind of a sponge with a hard back on it, and that will remove about 90% of the pesticides and sprays that are on it. When I'm asked, well, what if I can't afford organic? Well, there's several things you can do. First, go to your local farmer's market. There are more organic stands than ever before. Wait till late in the day. Most of them open up between 8 in the morning and noon or 1 and close. There are some exceptions, but by and large, that's about the time. Nobody wants to take back home with them whatever they didn't sell. And that's when you get your best bargains. That's when you can get stuff frequently at half price, which makes it cheaper than a regular similar product sold in a regular supermarket. So that's just a suggestion. Secondly, go ahead and buy the non-organic, but wash it thoroughly. And you have to do a weighing. There's going to be some trace amounts of pesticides, but think of what you're getting. You're getting the fibers, the polyphenols, the antioxidants, and you're getting specific acids that help eliminate toxins from the body. Because when someone's on a cleansing program, one of the very first things I have them do is I have them do an apple, cabbage, lemon, apple cider vinegar flush for 5 days, every day, twice a day. They're taking these, why? To get rid of pesticides and heavy metals, mercury, lead, cadmium, in their body. So I would rather have you eat, if you cannot afford or do not have access to organic, I'd rather have you eat something that is healthy, fruits and vegetables, but wash them thoroughly, because the healing benefit far outweighs any effect that a small amount will happen in your body. And that's very important, because generally people think it's either or. Either, and it's not. It's not at all, because not everyone is able to find organic produce. And one of the things I'm trying to do is trying to support people who want to open up organic produce markets in inner cities. There are, right now, you might have one or two, but when you do, they're always successful. So here's the latest study of why we should be consuming these red apples and these berries. Because they're extraordinarily powerful, along with grapes and onions, according to this study. And this was done at the University of South Carolina's Arnold School of Public Health. Quote, the natural biological properties of quercetin that include powerful antioxidants and anti-inflammatory activity, as well as the ability to boost the immune system and increase mitochondria, by the way, that's your powerhouse of your cell, that's your energy of your cell, in muscle and brain, is great news for those who often think that they're too tired to exercise. While there's no magic pill to make people get up and move or to take the place of regular exercise, quercetin may be important in relieving the fatigue that keeps them sedentary and providing some of the benefits of exercise. Half were given 500 milligrams of quercetin twice a day, the other given a placebo, and they found a substantial difference in their energy and even in their endurance capacity. Quote, this is what's important. And this was published in the journal of Sports, Nutrition, and Exercise Metabolism. Quercetin supplementation may be able to mimic some of the effects of exercise training. So what is the larger message here? Well, A, we should be eating more fruits and vegetables. B, onions, grapes, apples, and berries are very high in quercetin. And quercetin can help give you some of the benefits of exercise, even if you are not in a position to do the exercise. I had in one of the health support groups in New York City last year, a woman who came over to me and she says, I cannot afford organic produce. I'm on a very limited budget. But she had some debilitating arthritis and pain. Her legs were swollen. So I told her exactly what I just told you. You know, go to some supermarkets and see what they're throwing away, which is completely nutritious. It just may not be cosmetically perfect. And a lot of people won't buy something if there's any imperfection in it. I said, but have you ever seen an orange on an orange tree? She said, no. Ever see a lemon? Ever see an apple? She said, well, as a kid, I saw apples. I said, the apple's not completely red or completely yellow. There's going to be maybe a little scab where the worm is eating out of the apple from the core, and then a scab forms. Cosmetically, nobody wants to buy that, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And so those are thrown away or used in cider. I said, if you go into a store and you ask them, can I have what you're throwing away? You would get more food than what you could possibly consume. Spray it, agitate it 3 times in water, spray, agitate, spray, agitate, spray, agitate, and you've removed 98%, but you're getting the benefit of it that you're not getting now. Within 4 weeks, no swelling, no pain, no arthritis, energy galore, gums stop bleeding, fingernails stop cracking, hair stop falling out, and she felt she could bounce out of the bed in the morning. She was 78 years of age. So that's why we have to look at this. Now, if you can also get some of the benefits of exercise without exercising by taking quercetin, also good. Now, they gave 500 milligrams. I start at 1,000 milligrams and go up from there. I think quercetin is one of the most single important anti-aging healing agents ever. We have a lot of people who have mouth ulcers. It's an open sore. It generally appears in the soft tissue of the mouth. And if anyone in this audience has ever had a painful, irritating mouth ulcer, then you know how discomforting it can be and how difficult it is to eat. And generally what happens, you end up biting it, and then it grows. In other words, it becomes more inflamed. And then every time you eat, you have to almost put something between a barrier between the ulcer and... It's like biting your gum. You have to put a cucumber piece or something in there so you don't keep biting it until it heals. Here's the best remedy I know of. First, 50 milligrams of B-complex. Then, the best foods to heal ulcers in the mouth, fruits and vegetables, in juices, and especially using cabbage juice, lemon juice, and coconut oil. Now, the key is coconut oil. Coconut oil is one of the best single things you can do for sore throats, skin infections, fevers, the flu. All that benefits from coconut oil. And what it does, coconut oil actually kills certain type of bacteria that make it, that make your mouth ulcers continue. You simply rub some of the oil directly onto your ulcers 3 times a day, and I believe that you'll notice a big difference. And you can also do a mouthwash with coconut oil, and I would also use in there some aloe vera, and that can kill the ulcer-causing bacteria. Cabbage juice in particular kills ulcers in the stomach, intestines, and in the mouth. And so you can mix cabbage juice with coconut oil, swish it around in your mouth, and that will help tremendously. Now, soy has been attacked by some people and their foundation who are major promoters of a meat or animal-based or paleo diet. Here's the problem. They are not looking at the large body of scientific evidence. I decided to look at every single study in the scientific literature. It took over a year because there are over 6,000 studies. Eliminate any that were done by the soy makers because you could, right or wrong, you could say bias. You're left with over 5,000 studies that show soy has amazing healing benefits. I'm talking about organic non-GMO soy. Here's the latest. This is in the journal Respiratory Research. Scientists from Australia and Japan report that increased intake of soy foods is associated with improved lung function and a reduction in the risk of developing chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And that's a disease which occurs mainly in smokers. You get coughing and a lot of sputum production and shortness of breath, and it leads to death. So soy helped that tremendously. So that's good. And also olive leaf is rarely used, but we should, because our bodies and immune systems are constantly fighting off foreign objects, such as pollution, bacteria, and viruses. And we have a very hectic life. That causes stress. That increases cortisol. That adversely affects our immune system. That's why more frenetic, fast-paced your life, more susceptible you are to disease. And along comes this leaf. It's the olive leaf. It goes back over 1,000 years B.C. It's been known as one of the most powerful antioxidants, and you'll find it in oil form, and it's been used as one of the Mediterranean's number one medicines throughout all this time. The extract derived from these powerful olive leaves can provide a natural way to produce energy, fight infection, help with managing chronic fatigue syndrome, work with controlling your cholesterol, and it boosts immunity. It destroys viruses, helps you if you have shingles and herpes, increases skin health. It's great for detoxifying, and is produced from the olive leaf. And so you might find it as an herbal tea, a powdered capsule, an extract, but it's all good. So just include more of that into your diet. Also from the Mayo Clinic, if you have a poor diet, and most people do, you're going to age faster. Quote, researchers at Mayo Clinic believe that there's a link between these modifiable lifestyle factors, meaning a poor diet, what most people consume on a daily basis and drink and eat, and the biological process of aging. In a recent study, researchers demonstrated that a poor diet and lack of exercise accelerated the onset of cellular senescence and, in turn, age-related conditions. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Diabetes. Now, for this audience, senescent cells are cells that contribute to disease and conditions associated with age. And research from the Mayo Clinic on aging found that exercise prevents premature senescent cells accumulation and protects against the damaging effects of an unhealthy diet. It helps your heart, metabolic function, and that's important. So, the takeaway message here is, if you have a poor diet and you lack exercise, you're simply going to die sooner. You're going to have a lot of diseases. So exercise daily in whatever way you can, but also eat healthy. University of Rochester School of Medicine, the omega-3 fatty acids can reduce bacterial lung infections associated with COPD. I just told you about how soy helps with COPD and olive leaf helps with it. Well, now omega-3 fatty acids help. That's a major study published in the Journal of Immunology. And mindfulness meditation provides opiate-free pain relief. Wake Forest. Quote, everyone knows that stubbing your toe hurts. What makes it stop hurting is the body's main pain-blocking process, the natural product of opiates. Cognitive-based approaches found to reduce pain, such as hypnosis, acupuncture, distraction, and even the placebo response, have been shown to work through this system. But does meditation also use opiates to reduce pain? In a study published in the current issue of the Journal of Neuroscience, a team led by a professor of neurobiology and anatomy at Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center, reports that mindfulness meditation does not employ the endogenous opiate system to reduce pain. Our finding was surprising and could be important for the millions of chronic pain sufferers who are seeking a fast-acting, non-opiate-based therapy to relieve pain. How big is it? Well, the Institute of Medicine estimates that approximately 100 million Americans suffer from chronic pain at a cost of more than $600 billion a year to treat. So by reducing pain using a non-opiate, how important would that be? Wow, that's good news. I'm Gary Nall. That's the latest on health and healing, always meant to allow us to live a longer, healthier life, always based upon quality, independent peer-reviewed literature. And why? Why do I always cite every single day, year in and year out, decade in and out, in my articles, in my documentaries, my programs on PBS, every day here? Because there are those in this audience. We have physicians, nurses, we have people in healthcare listening who said, well, if he's giving his own opinion, it's very subjective, may or may not be true. If I'm going to take that information and pass it on to use it, I want to have some confidence that it's based upon good quality science. And good quality science is independent science done at a respected institution, published in a good peer-reviewed journal, and that has no toxic side effects. That's what you get every day, more than any other place in the world, every day, right here. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Let's go to one of our important social issues. This is from PR Watch. Quote from Brennan Fisher and Zachary Peters, despite widespread public opposition to the corporate-driven educational privatization agenda, at least 172 measures reflecting American Legislative Exchange Council, that's ALEC, model bills were introduced in 42 states in the last year. And that was an analysis from the Center for Media and Democracy. One of ALEC's biggest funders is Koch Brothers in the industry, and the Kochs have had a seat at the table where the private sector votes as equals with legislators on ALEC's education task force via their grassroots groups like American for Prosperity and their Freedom Partners Group, which was described as the Kochs' secret bank. The Kochs also have a voice on ALEC's educational task force through multiple state-based think tanks of state policy networks. And ALEC's sister organization, which is funded by many of the same corporations and foundations and donor entities. So here's the takeaway message. ALEC wants to abolish public schools. It's that simple. So this is ALEC's vouchers are a step towards abolishing public schools. And we have to be aware of this. All the promises of charters we have seen, with rare exception, have not been true. When I was going to school, I could not have imagined that I would be given a better opportunity to learn about the world and history and civics. Were some of the textbooks correct? Absolutely not. And today, knowing what we know about history, we could challenge those, but at least we were given the opportunity. We were in effect forced to do more critical thinking, or we didn't get out of school. There was none of this, well, I want to graduate with everyone else, but you haven't studied. I don't care. I want to graduate. Okay. We don't want you to feel bad about yourself. And we have so lowered the standards in education that we are graduating functionally illiterates in many of our schools. And to make it worse, the only thing that the Koch brothers and others see is profit. You're dealing in tens of billions of dollars a year in education. So whoever controls the educational system and the standards and the curriculum controls the money. So it has nothing to do with about getting kids who better understand the world, how to relate, how to think properly, how to use independent thought. None of that is important. Test them because someone's profiting from the test, standardized test. So just be aware, Alec is at work. I believe that each and every one in this audience should write their state legislators and ask, have you ever met with Alec, representatives? Have you ever been to their meetings? If so, which bills were you given, and did you support them? Let's see what they say. If they supported a bill in private from a group that did not elect them, then they should resign, or you should ask for recalls for every single legislator in America that's ever met with Alec, because they have sold out. And why do we allow this? Well, partly it's because we are now captivated in this bread and circus life by a group of people who function as sociopaths, who preen and prince and vogue as narcissists, and we accept it as normal. I can't watch these award shows. I can't watch the Academy Award. People walking a red carpet as if that makes them better. The idea that there's an exclusive club that we're not a part of. We're merely there to support the people who are, who have great disdain for us. According to University of Cambridge, and this deals with narcissism, and there was a great artist that I was a friend of. I was very young, and his pianist, Richard, would play the piano while this 84-year-old man, this great Renaissance artist named Paul Swan, would still do his dance, and his most famous dance was Narcissist. And I was sitting there, I'm like 22 years old, and I'm sitting watching, I guess the youngest woman in the room was 80, somewhere in their 90s, and he danced, he was magnificent. He was ageless in that dance. I was just blown away. I'd never seen anything like this coming from a small town in West Virginia. And then I learned how gifted he was in his sculpting, his painting, his poetry, his writings. And but that was my first look at something presenting narcissism. Now, the subject of narcissism has intrigued people for centuries. But social scientists now claim that it has become a modern epidemic. I believe we all see that. I mean, you see it in the presidential candidates. You see it in the talking heads when Bill O'Reilly begins to rant and rave and because he's being challenged. His idea of what's true should be dominant. The term narcissism originated more than 2,000 years ago when Ovid wrote The Legend of Narcissus. He tells the story of a beautiful Greek hunter who one day happens to see his reflection in a pool of water and falls in love with it. He becomes obsessed with its beauty and is unable to leave his reflected image until he dies. After his death, a flower, Narcissus, grew where he lay. The concept of narcissism was popularized by the psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud through his work on the ego and its relationship to the outside world. This work became the starting point for many other developing theories on narcissism. Narcissism lies on a continuum from healthy to pathological. Healthy narcissism is part of normal human functioning. It can represent healthy self-love and confidence, and is based upon real achievement. Not that you're better than anyone, but you're better than what you were because you understood your weaknesses and you worked diligently to overcome them, whatever those weaknesses were. I continually, daily, put on my website examples and videos of people who overcome limitations. Just the other day, I put one up of a one-legged man who cleaned and jerked, which is lifting a weight off the ground over your head. I was so inspired by this. The man who was a paraplegic who ended up after 5 years of teaching yoga and no longer could you see any of the previous defects. That's healthy narcissism. That's where you have confidence you can do something, and no matter how many times you fail, you learn by that lesson and you become stronger. You're not looking to be the strongest athlete. You're not looking to be the fastest. You're not looking to be the best. You are looking to make sure that you're growing and you're wiser today, better today, kinder today, more loving today than you were yesterday, more empathetic, more patient, more understanding. That's healthy narcissism, in my opinion. But narcissism becomes a problem when the individual becomes preoccupied with the self, needing excessive admiration and approval from others, while showing disregard for others' sensitivities. If the narcissist does not receive the attention desired, major depressive disorders and substance abuse, or extreme anger and rage can develop. Narcissists often portray an image of grandiosity or overconfidence to the world, but this is only covering up deep feelings of insecurity and fragile self-esteem that's easily bruised by the slightest criticism. And because of these traits, narcissists find themselves in shallow relationships that only serve to satisfy their constant need for attention. It's all about me, how I feel, what I want, what I need, and the person's just there to make sure I get it. That's unhealthy narcissism. Think of how many relationships started off fine because there was some attraction, there was some synergy, there was some sense of harmonizing, until one day you find out that you're really there just to fill the empty spaces in another person's life. And when you don't, they attack you for it. That's a narcissist. Narcissists are dangerous also. Because of these traits, narcissists find themselves always in confrontation. When narcissistic traits become so pronounced that they lead to impairments, this can indicate the presence of narcissistic personality disorders. And that's what's happening to a lot of younger people today. A lot of young men today are affected. The exact causes of narcissistic disorders are based upon childhood, either neglect, indifference, spoiling them, making them feel that they're better, though they've never shown that they deserve that. They never had to do anything to improve themselves. They didn't have to, because they had always determined parents to make sure that there was never any lesson that they had to feel any pain from. We're seeing more people today in our society who have personality disorders. This is not a brain chemical imbalance. This has nothing to do with the brain. It has to do with perception. And this is a modern epidemic where people are so self-absorbed, taking all the selfies, so self-obsessed, they only care about themselves. So when we ask, are you going to vote? It requires people to become humbled by what they do not know about a candidate and motivated by discipline to learn as much as they can so they make an informed choice. When you see people at rallies who are determined to make a statement, you're hopeful that those people have been self-educated enough that they are honoring their commitment to the truth. Unfortunately, it generally isn't that simple. But think of all the people in this country who've been abused and neglected, including many minorities who will vote for Hillary Clinton without taking the time or effort to look at the truth or knowing the truth and choosing no longer to engage it. How is that possible? You have two of the most narcissistic and dangerous people ever in American history. Look at the record. Last evening, I did an entire hour on the truth of what happened in Libya, showing the entire historical record of Libya and what was really the motivation of the people who wanted to see a regime change. Had nothing to do with bringing peace, democracy. Only a narcissist could make a statement that we're bringing you peace, democracy, and freedom, all the while knowing that they had peace, democracy, and freedom. Unlike any other country in Africa, they were the most peaceful and democratic and free country. For women, there's never been, in my knowledge, in recent history, a Muslim country that offered as much freedom to women, including the right to divorce, including the right to hold title, the largest group of policymakers in government, heads of councils, highest standard of living, deepest education. And yet all that was taken away by excessive narcissism that wanted us to believe in them. And we believe in the narcissists because the narcissists offer such self-confidence, massive amounts of energy of, I must be right. I'm president, or I must be right. I'm this major force in the media. And so imagine how difficult it is when the average person doesn't take the time to know the truth of their choices. So what would you do to help educate people about the power of the unhealthy narcissist and how that power ends up influencing to people's disadvantage, where certain weapons of mass destruction, Al-Qaeda, Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11, the next cloud could be a mushroom cloud, and all these other lies. Or, I feel your pain. Do you? All I saw is you created pain. And I'm one of you. Are you? Have you ever come out of an election cycle to spend time in someone's home for a week to see how they live? Have you walked down their streets without bodyguards and security people to see how safe it is? Have you ever gone to a grocery store and found that you had so little money you had to buy cat food instead of regular food? If you have not been in someone's shoes, do not judge them. And yet you take control over that person's life and you take away their welfare check and you cut back on the Pell Grants and you take money that should go to rebuilding their community and giving them jobs and counseling, and you put it into foreign wars because the people in those foreign wars profit from it. $4.2 trillion. We could have remade all of America. We could have free education, free health care, no ghettoization at all in the United States. We could have gainful employment to every single American, but we put it elsewhere. That's a narcissist at work. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Now, I want to share this. This is from Chris Hedges. I thought you'd find this interesting. This is called the Mexicanization of the United States, from Truthdig. Quote, the neoliberal ideology that is the engine of corporate capitalism spews its poison around the globe. Constitutions are rewritten by judicial fiat in a mockery of democracy. Laws and regulations that impede corporate exploitation are abolished. Corporations orchestrate legally sanctioned tax boycotts. Free trade deals destroy small farmers and small businesses, along with labor unions and government agencies designed to protect the public from contaminated air, contaminated water, contaminated food, and other usurious creditors and lenders. The press is transformed into an echo chamber for the corporate elites. Wages stagnate and decline. Unemployment and underemployment soar. Social services are curtailed or abolished in the name of austerity. The political system becomes a charade. Dissent is criminalized. The ecocide by the fossil fuel industry accelerates. State enterprises and utilities are sold to corporations. The educational system mutates into vocational training. Culture and the arts are replaced by sexual commodification, banal entertainment, and graphic depictions of violence. Infrastructure crumbles. The working poor sacrifice on the altar of corporate profit and suffering job losses, bankruptcies, foreclosures, and harassment and arrest watch helplessly as their dreams for themselves and their children evaporate. Some are forced into the underground economy, dominated by drugs, crime, and human trafficking. Some turn to opiates to blunt the despair. Heroin use in the United States has doubled since 2007. Suicides mount. There were more than 40,000 suicides last year in the United States. Hunger spreads. 48 million Americans, including 15 million children, live in food insecure households. The state, to prevent unrest, militarizes the police agencies and empowers them to use lethal force against unarmed civilians. It fills the prisons. From Mexico to Greece to the United States, the scenario is the same, varying only in degree. Neoliberalism and globalization create a vast race to the bottom. Duplicitous political elites, epitomized by Barack Obama and Bill and Hillary Clinton, are or will be highly compensated for doling out trillions in quantitative easing to banks and other financial firms while delivering credulous voters to the corporate guillotine. And anyone and everything, including the natural world, is transformed into a commodity to exploit for profit. The corporate pillage is unrelenting and is limitless. It goes on. I have posted the whole article. You can read it. Remember that when you think about who's running for office. Now, we're going to go to our calls at 888-874-4888 on our talkback segment on narcissism. But first, I want to share some of the clips I thought were important. This one is from a computer programmer testifying under oath that he helped rig voting machines. How do we know that wasn't done in every single election around the country? Listen in, please.
State your full name for the record.
My name is Clinton Eugene Curtis.
And where do you reside?
Tallahassee, Florida.
And what is your profession?
I'm a computer programmer.
Would you please speak into the microphone so the audience can hear your testimony?
I'm a computer programmer.
Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for President Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I worked for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And when you say did just that, it would rig an election?
It would flip the vote 51-49 to whoever you wanted it to go to and whichever race you wanted to win.
And would that program that you designed be something that elections officials that might be on county boards of elections could detect?
They'd never see it.
Mr. Would you answer that question once again?
They would never see it.
So how would such a program, a secret program that fixes the election, how could it be detected?
You would have to view it either in the source code or you'd have to have a receipt and then count the hard paper against the actual vote total. Other than that, you won't see it.
All right, Mr. Curtis, if you had been asked, you or others with your professional expertise had been asked to design a protective program that would protect the Ohio elections from against such software to fix the election, could you have done so?
If we'd been asked to make a program that could fix the election? Sure, anybody can do it.
No, could you have designed a program or a procedure or a protocol that would have protected Ohio against this kind of rigging?
No, you have to look at the source code. You have to get probably programmers from both or all parties to look at the source code and determine if there's anything in there that shouldn't be there. I mean, it's a simple program. You're adding one to a person's total. It's 100 lines of code tops.
Are you aware of whether there was any protective action in Ohio against this kind of vote rigging through software?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You were not asked to assist in the development of any protective system, is that correct?
No, I was not.
In Europe, have you reviewed at all the election results in Ohio?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Given the availability of such vote rigging software and the testimony that has been given under oath of substantial statistical anomalies and gross differences between exit polling data and the actual tabulated results, do you have an opinion whether or not the Ohio election, presidential election, was hacked?
Yes, I would say it was. I mean, if you have exit polling data that is significantly off from the vote, then it's probably hacked.
And your testimony is under oath?
Yes, sir.
And the testimony you've given is true?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. And it goes on. I have the clip posted. It's another 10 minutes where he talks about this in Florida as well. So here is an expert in the field saying that he worked on a system, and you hear him talk about it in Florida, and you hear him admit this under oath. And so all these elections, behind the scenes are people who control the voting machines, and that's where the fraud is. So until you get rid of all these voting machines and just have paper ballots, you're going to have fraud. It's that simple. But unless you hear someone actually say it, then it's just kind of specious. It's up there in the universe. No, it's not. It's grounded. Also, I'm going to take some calls now, but I want to play one more clip before we do. Let's hear from a former pharmaceutical rep, one of the leading ones in the United States, shares an unsurprising truth that behind Big Pharma's true motivations.
My name is Gwen Olson, and I am the author of Confessions of an Rx Drug Pusher. I'm a 15-year veteran of the pharmaceutical industry, and I left in the year 2000. And what I would like to do today is I would like to dispel the myth that the pharmaceutical industry is in the business of health and healing. Because in fact, what the pharmaceutical industry is in the business of doing is disease maintenance and symptoms management. They are not in the business to cure cancer, to cure Alzheimer's, to cure heart disease, because if they were, they would be in the business of putting themselves out of business. And that in fact doesn't make sense. I don't want people thinking that I am a conspiracy theorist, because in fact, there is no theory behind what I'm telling you. It's all provable. And what I'm saying is provable is that the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want to cure people. You need to understand, specifically when we're talking about psychiatric drugs in particular, that these are drugs that encourage people to remain customers of the pharmaceutical industry. In fact, you will be told if you're given a drug such as an anxiolytic or an antidepressant or an antipsychotic drug that you may be on the drug for the rest of your life. And very frequently, people find that they are on the drugs for a very long period of time, if not permanently, because they're almost impossible to get off of. Some of them can have very serious withdrawal symptoms, and most of them can have extremely serious withdrawal symptoms if they're stopped cold turkey, but some people even experience withdrawal symptoms when they try to titrate or they try to eliminate the drug little by little, day after day. So it's really important to understand the motivation behind all of the current maintenance drugs that are on the market. Even, for example, drugs such as cholesterol-lowering drugs. And what we are in fact finding now is that cholesterol drugs are lowering cholesterol excessively and causing other disease states as a consequence. So you need to be careful about trying to take drugs in order to remain healthy, because you're never going to have anyone come to you and tell you that the drugs are always tried against a placebo in clinical trials. What a placebo is a sugar pill. And in fact, many drugs are not found to be much more efficacious than the sugar pill. And in a case in point, actually, is the recent clinical trials that were released in the meta-analysis that came out of the UK on antidepressants, on the newer SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor antidepressants. And what was found was the information that activists and other researchers have known for decades, was that antidepressants are no more effective than placebo, no more effective than sugar pills. But yet there are over 44 million people that have been taking these antidepressants, and a large number of them people that have mild to moderate depressive episodes. In fact, they prove that the antidepressants were not effective in anyone with the exception of some of the most severely depressed patients. And I can tell you from personal experience that there are a number of things that depressed patients can do to improve their mental status aside from drugs that are quite effective and, in fact, more effective than placebo. Another recent study that was released showed that exercise was, in fact, more effective than either placebo or the antidepressant drug.
And that's Gwen Olson. And there are many others that we have interviewed and filmed who will tell you it's just a racket, it's just for the money, and they don't do a lot of good. Frequently, as she just said, if you have depression, exercise and talk therapy and a healthy diet, much better than any drug. And we also have a rash of suicides directly related to these drugs. Hillary Clinton mentioned that she is challenging, you know, the idea that students are deeply in debt. Really? Well, then I put a story up today on my website, Raw Story, by Anna Kasparian. It's called Hillary's Emails Reveal Lucrative Ties to For-Profit Colleges. I'll just read the first paragraph. Quote, student loan debt continues to be one of the largest economic issues plaguing the United States, with the total amount topping $1.3 trillion. Hillary Clinton's higher education policy touts debt-free degrees for underprivileged students. But is she being genuine in her efforts to address the issue? While Hillary loves to rail against shady for-profit colleges on the campaign trail, she does have some financial ties to them that are likely to shape whether or not she holds them accountable for ripping students off. It was recently revealed through Hillary Clinton's emails that during her first year as Secretary of State, she insisted that Lorette Education be included in the guest list for an education policy dinner hosted at the U.S. State Department. Quote from her email, it's a for-profit model that should be represented, end quote. She wrote in August 2009 email, as a result, a senior vice president at Lorette was added to the guest list. Several months later, former President Bill Clinton became an honorary chancellor of Lorette International Universities, which turned out to be incredibly lucrative. He was paid $16.5 million for his role for the for-profit college. I repeat, $16.5 million. So it just goes to show that what they say out there and what they actually do are completely different. I found today how much money Wall Street firms have given the Clintons, $93 million. And yet they'll say, well, we'll curtail him. Will you? Well, look at the people from Goldman Sachs and Wall Street, Lawrence Summers, Bill Clinton, Secretary of Treasury, and Robert Rubin, Bill Clinton's Secretary of Treasury. Look at these people. They all represent Wall Street. So just to let you know, when Hillary makes the deal, Bill comes in behind and collects $16.5 million. Good work for them. And yet she's going to take on education. Let's say hello now to George from the Bronx. Hi, George. Your turn.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
I thank you. I thank you so much for what you and Luann do every day. As far as narcissism is concerned, I think between the philosophy of Ayn Rand and also with the encouragement of the U.S. government, that they overemphasize individualism and the sense that a negative sense that they emphasize that either you succeed as an individual in this country easy as a success, as a failure. There's always the responsibility is on the individual person. And
good
I think
point.
That what that does is
guide good
people,
point, George.
People don't acknowledge.
Okay, we're going to take two more. You've made your point, and I appreciate that. By the way, just remember, in the Super Bowl, the loser of the Super Bowl was extremely ungracious and extremely narcissistic in not accepting loss. That's rampant narcissism. And those guys going in the end zone doing all those stupid dances and voguing, that's narcissism also. We're going to say hello to Robert from New Jersey. Robert, make your comments quick, please.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I wanted to mention was that the reason why the population is so passive generally is because they share the same psychopathology as their so-called leaders and the top levels of the business community and the military. So they share that same psychopathology. The other thing I wanted to mention is that there's no such thing as a healthy narcissism. Narcissism in adults is a severe mental illness. And I think you're way out of your depth here when you say that there's such a thing as healthy narcissism. And the last thing I wanted to comment was on the pharmaceuticals, the psychiatric pharmaceuticals. You might want to look at Dr. Peter Bregan, B-R-E-G-E-N.
I'm very familiar with Peter Bregan, just filmed him, in fact. I would share a difference of opinion, but we respect differences of opinion on this program. So, Robert, thank you for calling in and sharing your insights. We're out of time. I just want to mention one quick thing. For those who have not received your premiums from our sister station, WBAI in New York, please call my office and let us know, because we're doing our best to see that you receive any premium from any program ever that you did not get at any time in the past from BAI. Call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422, and we will do all we can to see that you get your premium. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more on tomorrow's program. Have a nice day, everyone.